Last weekend, Deacon Josh quoted one of the priests at the seminary. He's a very quotable priest. He said, "Pray as you can, not as you can't." Awesome advice. This priest is kind of like part Yoda and part Yogi Berra. He's got these great one-liners that just stick with you. And Father Johnson and I are good friends with him. He belongs to our community, the Companions of Christ. And so we've been trying to gather a lot of his quotes. We're always quoting him, and we thought maybe we could get one for each day of the year. Some of my favorites are these. If you stop, start again. Great advice. Another one he says, we've all heard of people who have stage fright. This priest says he thinks some people have stage joy. And I might be guilty of that sometimes. And then one of my favorites that he says, and I quote this often, especially to people in difficult situations, he says, "We need divine power to produce divine effects. Human power will never produce divine effects." These are wise words. We need divine power if we're going to expect something miraculous, if we're going to expect some big change that no human person could effect. And the world needs these divine effects. And so, therefore, the world needs divine power. I'd say if, especially right now, the world needs divine power in healing division. As if we needed reminded, the news every day keeps talking about division, right? And it's only going to get worse. For the next 3 months, brothers and sisters, we're going to hear about the division. I think there's an election this year, right? We're going to keep hearing about the political left and the political right. We're going to keep hearing about racial divisions. We're going to hear about religious divisions. All of these different groups that are at odds with one another. And we need divine power to heal these divisions. No human power could do it. And we hear a lot about this division in our readings today. Deacon Josh did a great setup last weekend. He talked about the Roman Christian community, how it was a divided community. Part were Jewish converts to Christianity, and part were Gentile converts to Christianity. So you have these two groups that are now forced together, and they have problems with each other. They have division. They need reconciliation. And so Paul stands in the middle as this mediator between the two. And he says to them today in his reading to the Romans that God wants to have mercy on all. He wants to have mercy on the Jews and their converts. He wants to have mercy on the Gentiles and their converts. He wants to have mercy on all, not just one group or the other. And then we have this odd, strange encounter in the gospel that sometimes we scratch our heads at. What is Jesus doing here in this encounter with the Canaanite woman? She comes begging him to heal her daughter. And then what's his response? "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." Whoa. Strong words from the Son of God. He calls this woman a dog and her Gentile counterparts. Is Jesus being racist? Is Jesus being a bigot that prefers his own race? I think something actually much more interesting is going on here. First, I think we have to say Jesus is pointing out the particularity of God's call first to the Jewish people. He had to come first to somebody. And so he came first to the Jews. They were the family of God, the house of Israel. But then secondly, I think he's playing on the way the Jews looked at themselves and the way they looked at the rest of the world. You see, the Jews were selected, and this gave them kind of a superiority complex. They knew they were set apart. They knew God came first to them. But then, because of that, it took them in a wrong direction, a direction that Yahweh, the Father, had never intended. Then they began to look at the rest of the world as lower, as less important. And they came up with derogatory words for those people, one of them being dog. And so when Jesus uses that word today, in earshot of his disciples, he's teaching. Perhaps he's even repeating the word that his disciples had used earlier when they said, "Lord, send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." I think it's very possible they were calling her and her people a dog. And so Jesus uses this word just in earshot of his disciples. But he doesn't leave it there. He pushes it further. And he elicits a response of faith from this woman outside of the family of God. She responds, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs," she owns it, she owns that word, "even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." He elicits this response from the woman, and then he rewards it. He does that in earshot of his disciples too. And he tells her, "Great is your faith." He ascribes faith to this woman outside of the house of God. He pushes the boundaries of the house of God. And he does it in an instructive way to the disciples and to us. You see, he's hearkening back to Isaiah, that reading we heard at the beginning. In Isaiah, we heard, "My house shall be a house of prayer for all peoples." Not just for a select few, but for all. And then in the psalm, "Let all the nations praise you." Not some, all. See, Israel was selected by God to be a light to all the nations. Not that they would shine that light on themselves in a superiority way, but that they would shine that light so that all would see God's saving power. God's election of the people of Israel wasn't this people instead of that people. His election of them was this people for that people. He chose them so that they might be the light to the Gentiles, a light to the nations, that the house would expand. They kept getting it wrong. And it's funny, they were actually the lowest of the people. That's why God chose them, not because they were great, but because they were small. And he chose the small to shame the strong. He chose the insignificant of the world that all might come to see God's saving power. God's grace was given uniquely to them for the sake of everyone. And we need, brothers and sisters, that divine power in our world if we're going to see divine effects. The divine power that would heal division, that would bring everyone back to the Father. Do we have division? Yeah, sure we do. In our world, in our country, in our communities, we have to recognize there's division, and there always has been. But only one person, only one candidate can heal that division. and he's not of human origin. We need a divine person, fully God, fully man, if we're going to expect divine effects, if we're going to expect the healing of our world. We need Jesus to unite us. We need Jesus to draw all people to himself through the church, the new Israel. God has chosen us too, brothers and sisters, not that we would be set apart and superior, but that we would be that light to the nations just as the Jews were called to be. He wants to use us, the church, to heal the world. And that division is healed in such a tangible way in the celebration of the Mass, where people come from all tongues, all creeds, all nations. They come streaming here to worship. And they come and receive the Eucharist, the sacrament of unity. Each of us comes from different backgrounds. Each of us, our ancestors, came from different countries. But we come united in the church in this celebration of the family meal. And even in the elements of the bread and the wine, we see the many becoming one. In one loaf of bread, there had to be a lot of grains of wheat. In one glass of wine, there had to be a lot of grapes. And in each of those elements, the wheat and the grapes, there needed to be a crushing, a giving way to an individuality so that the one could be realized, the loaf and the wine. And so today, as we celebrate these mysteries of our faith, let us pray for an end of division. Let us recognize, Jesus, you're the one who can heal us. We need your divine power. And as we receive his body and blood, let him unite us as a church.